Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Ramadan, this is a very important period that we are passing through, this middle period of 10 days, the second third. Some of the days have already passed in this third. And just like this Ashura, the name of this third, we realize that this is the Ashura of forgiveness, Maghfirah. And in this Ashura, in this period, the most important action, the most important amal that an individual, a human being has to implement, that Allah Ta'ala Himself is telling us, and that is Tawbah, to repent. To repent, to ask Allah for forgiveness. To request Allah for forgiveness. Tawbah, Alhamdulillah, if a person gets the opportunity to do Tawbah in his life, that's good. But in these 10 days, especially if somebody does Tawbah, if somebody repents, in these 10 days, then that Tawbah is according to Allah Ta'ala's desire. And the ajr, the reward for this Tawbah in these 10 days will be unique and distinct and different, because somebody, that person who's doing Tawbah, is responding to Allah Ta'ala's invitation. Allah saying, do Tawbah in these 10 days, in any day, in any night, in any period, do Tawbah. And the rewards for this insan cannot understand the amount of rewards Allah will give. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that when a person does tawbah, when a human being repents from his or her sins, then after doing tawbah, after repenting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with regards to kiraman and katibin, these angels that are attached to us, these are very you can say important angels that will present themselves to Allah and show our deeds that they recorded. Every single movement of ours, every single amal of ours, every single action that we do, they record. They're on our right and left. And on the day of Qiyamah, first and foremost, the situation with relation to our amal, it will be these two angels that will present our deeds in the court of Allah. Allah, these are the deeds that this person implemented, this is what he gathered, this is what he did, this is what he didn't do, the amount of life you gave, this is what this person did. So after doing Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost says to these angels, Kiram and Katibin, that this person's file, his previous historical record, wipe it away. There could be 70 years records, it could be 80 years records, it could be 25 years records, it could be 30 years of records. This doesn't make any difference. That's it. Allah's hukam, Allah's order. This individual who's repented, all the sins you have recorded, O angels, that I don't want to see that record after today, wipe them away. Wipe that record away. Wipe his slate clean, in other words. And secondly, when we with them will be presented physically in Allah Ta'ala's court, and obviously the angels will present the records that are left, and then there'll be another witness, form of witness that will trap us on that day, and that is our own limbs. Or parts of our body, our hands, our feet, our body will testify. When a person will look around on the Day of Judgment, Allah will say that your crimes, there is such a witness that you have that will automatically testify against you. And when Allah orders our own hands and feet, our body, with which we used to sin, they themselves will go against us. Our hand will say that Allah, He done this sin, and the tongue will say Allah, He did this sin. Body, every part of our body that we are nurturing and giving energy to and saving ourselves from cold and heat, and we give libas and attire to our bodies and we're proud of our bodies, and we will see on the Day of Judgment that our own body and limbs will go against us. Look at this. Nobody is with anybody. Nobody will help anybody. Allahu Akbar, Allah is great. What that day will be, imagine, my finger will say, this man used to sin, Allah. How will I reject that on that day? My own finger, because obviously the finger will say, Allah, he used me to sin. My eye will say, Allah, he used me to do zina, to commit adultery. My tongue will say, Allah, I testify against this person that he said this to this person, he swore to this person, he said bad about this person. How will I reject them? Will I be able to deny? I consider that the body parts of mine, oh, it's hidden, I can hide away. Let not that person find out, let not he or she find out that I'm sinning. But what about my own body, my hands, my limbs, that will testify against me? Can I hide away from them? So Allah says, this is the opportunity. This is the ashra of maghfirah. If you repent now, then your hands and feet and all the limbs of your body that you have used to sin, I will order them, beware, you cannot testify against this person. Forget what you have seen. Forget what he has done. Imagine the bargain that Allah has given us today. What a great bargain Allah is offering us today. And a beautiful opportunity. Okay, so that's point number two. And the third thing that will testify against us on the Day of Judgment, firstly was the angels, kiram al-kathimin. Secondly, our body parts. And third is the crust of the earth. Because when we sin on this earth, and in between the earth and the skies, this earth, the land we live on, the planet earth, and somewhere on the earth, on the land or on the mountain or somewhere in the sky, we will sin. So Allah will order those places to come where we sin. And we will forget that I won't even remember that I traveled to this place. Did I implement this action in this park? Did I go to this shop and carry out this sin? And in this business premises, is this where I did this sin? I can't even remember I went to this shop. Allah, I can't remember that I went to this person. When did I stand next to this tree and commit this action? Allahu Akbar, Allah is Qadir. He's the Mutlaq. Allah says, Kun, and everything will come back to life. We will stand, and I will be the criminal in the court of Allah. And the natural surrounds will testify, and there will be an azeem decision that will come. And on such a day, on such a place, we'll be dragged to that court. And Allah says, then that person who is sinful will be dragged towards hellfire. Jahannam. Then we remember, oh, it was Ramadan on this year, 2017. Allah gave me this ashra, this 10 days opportunity to tawbah. I was sat in the masjid. It was after Asr. It was the time when mercies were descending and angels were bringing the rewards. It was time of iftar. And the time of iftar was near. And from Allah came a person. Allah Ta'ala sent that opportunity to that person that he could sit and do tawbah at that time. Oh, if only I could realize there was a person who came from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, sent that person to give da'wah, to explain to me. If only I had listened at that time, if only I had done tawbah at that time, fair enough, if I was to sin after that, Allah would have given me another opportunity to repent. What mistake did I make? And so I'll be stood and thinking that Allah, what an opportunity that's gone, that I considered myself so pious that I didn't need to repent. I was proud of my piety. Didn't I know that I had said wrong things, I had committed sins, and I never used to think that I was a sinful person. I had so much pride and conviction on my deeds, my ibadat, and my worship. I used to look towards my good deeds and I never looked towards my sins. Allah gave me such a big opportunity in Ramadan. I had an opportunity. Open announcement Allah Ta'ala gave. Open announcement. Everything is against me now. And I'm thinking, I'm stood in front of Allah. Time passes, life passes, then it's too late. And this will come very quickly, my friends. Because this dunya, life is not very long. I ask you, the amount of time that just passed before us and we are sat down now. Let's look back. How many years have passed so quickly? Where's my youth gone? My childhood gone? My school? My college? My university? Where's everything gone? Just now, let's sit down and discuss and think and ponder over it for a few minutes. Everything's gone. I can't even remember today's morning. The morning time today that has passed. That's gone so quickly, the day. Because that at the moment, everything in our minds is about, oh, dates and water. I want iftar to come quickly. I want to break the fast. And we don't remember the time that has passed before us. And this is the reality of life, my friends. That what are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? Why don't we listen to Allah Ta'ala's call with love and mercy? Allah's calling out to us, and tawbah in Ramadan. Only the fortunate and lucky people get this chance. Only the fortunate people. Yes, so if we bow down our heads with humility and say, my Mawla Allah, I do tawbah, honest, true tawbah, I truly repent. And what is tawbah? There's three promises we have to make to Allah. Allah, my previous sins, I realize I was disrespectful. I used to disobey you. I used to break your orders and the rules that you made. I'm ashamed, Allah. And to be ashamed of our Mawla, is this some bad thing? That Allah, I'm ashamed in front of you. You are my creator. You used to give me food and wealth and earnings. You gave me health and you gave me everything. And I used to disobey you. Just think like this, that if we think just this much, will we not feel ashamed in Allah Ta'ala's court? Won't we? That Allah, I didn't realize that you were aware and were everywhere looking at what I was doing. That Allah says, I am everywhere, I'm close to you. You said in the Quran, I'm closer to you than your jugular vein. And I used to sin in front of you, Allah, in your presence. I sinned, Allah. I sinned despite knowing your power. And this is called awareness and regret. Proper regret. Step number one of tawbah. And then a person goes forward and says, Allah, I promise, I will not repeat these sins. Forgive me. Forgive me. And I will not commit this sin again. If we just say this, then Allah will give the announcement from above. Go, your tawbah has been accepted. I have forgiven you. I have forgiven you. Oh, oh, oh. And then the third witness. The third witness. Who will be that witness? It will be the land, the trees, and the earth. And I will say that when you do tawbah, I will order the third witness will testify against you that wipe away the memory of the sins from all of the nature in the world that this individual came to you and stood on you and committed the sins. So kiram and katibin, their records will be wiped away. Our limbs, they will forget from their memory the sins we committed. And on the earth and in the skies, wherever we committed the sins, they will forget the sins we committed. Imagine after a few seconds how an individual becomes the beloved of Allah. First, the adab was descending, raining down, punishment of Allah. Punishments were coming due to the sins that the person would have committed. Person was disobedient, he would have had difficulties and problems and worries. He would have been wrapped around in difficulty. And in a second, he made friendship with Allah, extended his hand, and Allah gave him everything. Imagine, subhanAllah. And then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that every tree, every shajar, every rock and boulder, small hadith, every rock, every tree, an item of vegetation and nature, every rock and every tree next to it, do the dhikr of Allah. After doing tawbah, this is the second point. What is this? That imagine how big a open playing field of the dhikr of Allah. That everywhere where there's a boulder, where is there not a boulder in the world? Everywhere. In front of us, you come out of the masjid, there'll be a tree. There'll be a rock or a boulder or stones. Everywhere, Rasulullah ﷺ said, do one action, remember your Mawla. Why? As the Prophet ﷺ, why does Allah Ta'ala tell us to remember him so much? Why? Because when Shaytan was given the order to prostrate to Adam, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, and the wretched Shaytan, he rejected him. We know that whole story. And Shaytan had understanding, had knowledge, and he was, you can say, the knowledgeable person of his time. He had all the qualities and everything, and he recognized Allah and accepted Allah. He was arif, he was an alim, and he had all of the knowledge and the quality. He was an abid, he was a zahid, he was a worshipper. And what did Shaytan do? He saw the opportunity, he knew Allah, that Allah's rahmah and mercy overwhelms everything. Allah Ta'ala's rahmah and mercy overwhelms his ghadab, his wrath. So Shaytan knew that he was being expelled from paradise. He said, okay, I'll do dua. And I have total yaqeen that Allah will not reject my dua. And this is Shaytan. Shaytan. And we are the servants of Rahman. Then how will Allah reject us? And Shaytan here was asking Allah to accept his requests. Iblis, our duas, why are they not accepted if we compare here? Because we don't have yaqeen and certainty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept our du'as. We don't extend our hands to Allah. And even if we do ask, we just repeat. We don't know what we're saying from our lips. We don't know what we want. رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي. We're looking here, left and right. We don't know what we've asked for. We don't know. Some people say, that's it. Just quickly, matter something. Pray Salah. Just mumble jumble and they leave. What is this? Is this asking Allah? Within a couple of seconds. And some people don't even ask. Perform dua. Some people don't even do dua. After salah, they just depart. And salah is the place for asking. Look at Shaytan. Shaytan made a dua. He requested to Allah and Allah accepted. And what is the dua he asked? He said, my Rabb, Mawla, Allah, now you have decided to expel me due to this man, Adam alayhi salam. You have rejected me, you've sent me out of paradise, and then on departing, I ask you for one thing. Allah said, yes. And he had yaqeen that Allah will accept him. What was this? He said, Allah, that I cannot overcome this man, and I cannot be better than him because you have rejected me, but I have an enmity now with this man. I am the enemy of mankind. And how can I overcome Shaytan? So I do dua to you. I request you that give me the strength and qudrat that I can influence the human being. Allah said, okay, fine, I accept your dua. I give you the power to influence man. To influence man. Now, remember this hadith, because this discussion that why is dhikr important? We'll come back to that so we understand the link. Why did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that near to every tree and rock and boulder do the dhikr of Allah? This is not a punishment, it's not a burden for us. Understand this hadith. So when Allah said, okay, I give you the power to influence man, then Shaitan extended his request. He said, no, not enough. Allah, I need a bit more than this. I need your permission. I need you to give me more than this. So he said that Allah, whenever his child is, I need more power. So Allah Ta'ala said, fine, when he, the man, the human being, multiplies and continues, then you also will have children. You will also have assistance. And he said, no, Allah, that's it, not enough. I need more. Allah said, okay, I give you the power and strength that you can get close to the person physically and live amongst him and do the actions you want. So now Shaitan's asked for permission to get close to us physically. He was not satisfied. He said, Allah, no. So this will not be enough for me just to be close to the body of man. He's very powerful. Say subhanallah. Because Shaitan knew that Allah's made the world, universe and man. And he's not some minor form of creation that the angels were told to prostrate to him. So if it's somebody else who said, oh, Allah's given me the power. Okay, fine. I'm going to fight off the human being. But Shaitan knew that no, the current that Allah Ta'ala has injected into man, the ruh, the soul, subhanallah, it is such a current, the ruh, that if he utilizes his ruh correctly, then he will go beyond and higher than the level of the angels. He will live on the earth and he will implement the actions of the heavens. His power, his strength, nobody can get to him. Shaitan knew this, that man was very powerful, that he'd be linked to Allah. So he knew, Shaitan, that man, the human being, can get close to Allah spiritually. He said, Allah, no, I don't want to just be physically near to man so I can influence him. I need more power than this. And Allah said, is it? Okay. Allah accepted the dua of Shaitan, the request. Allah said, fair enough, that you will be able to flow in the blood, veins, in the veins and arteries. Here is how close Shaitan has come to us. Our enemy lives next to us in our home. And he wanders around in a home. But the special, extreme enemy, Shaitan, the greatest enemy of mankind, which is Shaitan, the devil. And this hadith we learn, what is the link between us and Shaitan? How Shaitan has been given certain powers. So Shaitan, he said, Allah, give me more, I need some more power. Allah said, you'll be able to flow in the blood stream, in the veins and arteries, wherever the blood flows, you also will be able to flow there. So is there any place that is free or safe from Shaitan? Tell me. He said, no, Allah, this is not enough. Even now, this human man, this human being has more strength than me. I need more strength to oppose him. Allah said, okay, keep on asking and I will give to you. This is Allah's glory, my friends, my servant. Whatever you ask from me, I will keep on giving to you. Imagine. Allah says that, oh human being, whatever you ask for, I will give to you. Ask in the right way. Allah will not reject. That don't tremble and doubt. And just leave, and just pick yourself and leave. Have some confidence with your Rabb, have some trust in your Rabb. Create a link, an attachment with your Rabb, with your Lord. Have a relationship with Allah. Allah is the Rabb of the universe from whom you are asking. What is it that Allah cannot give to us? What worry is there that is left after this? Tell me. That while you're walking, traveling, ask Allah, do dua. On every footstep, make dua. And on every footstep, we need Allah. We have so much need of Allah's help, so much help that when we are standing for salah, you don't know. Allah says that, will your salah be completed or accepted? So when you stand for salah, at that time, make dua, Allah, please complete my salah, because maybe this salah will give me forgiveness. We should do dua even for that short period of time. We don't know that I'm eating this piece of food, this morsel of food. What will happen? Will it go through my throat into my stomach? Will it give me good blood? Will it allow me to do good actions, or will I do sins? So when I'm eating a morsel of food, I should be so cautious and careful. I have a need to get close to Allah, because this piece of food will give me strength, energy, make me practice. When I put the food in my mouth, even then I should do this dua in my heart. Allah, this piece of food that's going into my mouth, in my body, Allah, make this khair for me, good for me. This is how far a human being should go. Hazrat Arifi, rahmatullahi, Hazrat Dr. Abdul Hayy, rahmatullahi, may Allah Ta'ala allow his rahmah, mercy to descend on his grave. This was the manner in which he taught people to do dua. He was the wali of Allah. I'm speaking about him. He taught us this. He said that Allah Ta'ala has given us ability to do dua. We shouldn't just go raise our hands after dua, after salah, and do dua on a special occasion, Hajj time, or in front of the Kaaba, or on a special moment. No, dua, who told you that dua is just for a split second, for special occasions? You are the servant, Allah is the Rabb. We are the ones in need, and Allah is the one who gives. And our need, our requirement is such that Allah says, your finger, you cannot even move it if Allah Ta'ala doesn't allow. Your finger cannot rise if Allah Ta'ala doesn't order. And this is how far we are dependent on Allah. We are so dependent on Allah. We think that just within a few moments, that we just ask a dua on special days, or on a special time. And every moment of the day, we should ask Allah for whatever we need. Everything before we do any action, we should say to our Rabb, Allah, I'm about to do this action. Please make it successful, full of barakah, and all that actions we do in the dunya, there's no action that we don't do. We leave home, we should do dua. Sit down, do dua. Start the car, do dua. Turn the steering wheel, do dua. Walking, do dua. Stood, do dua. When you get up from bed, do dua. Drink water, do dua. You go into someone's house, Allah, allow me to enter with khair and goodness. Allow me to spend time with khair. There's no second of the day that passes that we don't ask from Allah. Every second should become dua to Allah. And shaitan, he's asking from Allah, and Allah was giving to him. Shaitan had belief, certainty, and a human being has no protection from shaitan. Rather, Allah Ta'ala has created us, and we are the highest form of creation, but our enemy is asking, and Allah is giving to him. Allah's mercy is such that whenever anyone asks Allah, Allah doesn't hesitate to give. Subhanallah. Look at the glory, the status, the power of Allah, our Mawla. He gives, even to our enemy, shaitan he's given. So Allah said, okay, shaitan, you've asked, I'll give you more. Allah said, I will give to you more. Listen then. Allah gave so much shaitan. Allah said, so your enmity, you want to take it to a different level, to a higher scale. Allah said, this then I'll tell you, O shaitan, that your army, your group, your workers, shaitan's workers, that if they are walking, or if they're traveling on transportation, or they're walking, all of them, you can collect them. I'll give you the strength to gather all of your workers together, and you can then attack the human being with your influence and evil and your invitation to do sin. Yes, I'll give you the total freedom to influence the human being as much as you want. Allahu Akbar. Shaitan said, no, I need more power than this, Allah. Allahu Akbar. Allah said, more? Okay, fine. Ask and I will give to you. I'll give you the strength and the power that you can become involved in every action of the human being. Whatever action you're involved in will become a curse for that person. Look at the power. You can be involved in his eating, in his children, in his wealth, in his turnover, in his ibadat, in his worship, in his Quran. There's no place where you will not be involved and included. I give you the power and the strength. We read Quran, shaitan's included. We pray salah, shaitan's included. We do hajj and shaitan's involved. Isn't it the case? Listen carefully to what I'm saying. Protection. There's no protection from shaitan. Who's been given the power, strength here? Who's given it? Allah, Rabbul Izzat. So me and you, what can we do, my friends, if Allah has given this power to shaitan? Look at our status. Direct shaitan, he has taken all the powers from Allah so he can lead us to the doors of hellfire. But shaitan says, no, Allah, I want more power. Allahu Akbar. He wanted more. More. Allah said, more? Okay, I'll give you more power, more strength, so you can oppose the human being, my creation. Allah said, what shall I give to you? That you can inject the waswasa into the human being. And you can inject your whispers and thoughts, and you can give him false promises, and you can give him such promise that the human being will have yaqeen and certainty in your promises. And I give you the power, strength, O shaitan, Allah said, that you can whisper to the human being and inject into him the bad thoughts, the evil inclinations and hopes and desires. And we see this, don't we? We feel this in our lives. And we say, no, I don't want to do tawbah today and tomorrow. Not tomorrow, after next month. Though I'm young yet, I'm still too young to do tawbah. Who is making us say this? Shaitan. Allah saying, today is the time. Today is the opportunity for maghfirah. This is the ashra, the 10 days. My rahmah, my mercy is there, the heights. Ask for me. Shaitan says, no, don't do this, madman. Don't do this. This is the waswasa. And from, you can say, so many people, hundreds of thousands, not one person extends his hand to do tawbah. We will do all the other ibadat and worship, but no man, no woman, no child. Nobody is coming to do tawbah. We have thousands of people who are doing so many things in Ramadan, but nobody is coming to tawbah. Not astaghfar with the tasbih. Which tawbah is Allah saying? That bring your sins forth, put your sins in front of you, have regret and stand in front of your Rabb Allah. The sins I've committed before today, forgive me. After today, I promise that I will not commit the sins again, Allah. And this is tawbah. This is repentance due to which Allah gives forgiveness. Allah Ta'ala says, oh, how can I make a promise from Allah? If I commit that sin again, then I'll do that sin again, then I'll become sinful again. Oh, madman, then you'll become more sinful. No, 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 don't repent now. Wait until further in your life. And then if you do tawbah, how will you earn? How will you eat? How will you give to your family? Oh, if you do tawbah today, then your wife, she'll go against you. She won't be happy. If you do tawbah, you'll have to do these actions. And then see what happens in your house. Your child, your son will go against you. Oh, and if you don't earn and bring food home, and if you don't leave haram, who is telling us to do this? That same power of shaitan that's making us sin. Otherwise, us, that how we would do good deeds, that we don't accept the words of Allah, that we don't obey Allah Ta'ala's orders, and we have such dare and audacity that we go against Allah. But Allah's given this power to shaitan. You have that power of shaitan that convinced this man, and he will have yaqeen in your words. You can whisper to him in his ears, and he will be the person who prays salah, the abid, the zahid, the sufi, and the wali of Allah. But shaitan, I'll give you power that within a few seconds, within a minute, you will change this person. The walis of Allah, you will drag them down from the heights to the earth. Those people who do dhikr and have fikr and have worry for their deen, shaitan will drag them down to the bottom of the level. So shaitan said, ah, Allah, you've given me the power now. He said, that's it. Allah said, is that it? You don't want any more? But Allah didn't stop in asking and said, you want more? But shaitan said, yes, Allah, you've given me all the power, and now I am the true enemy of man. Allah said, listen, though, one thing, shaitan, before you go, you are going with all the powers I've given you. But remember one point, Allah Ta'ala said to shaitan. Remember one point. That you will not be able to, despite all of these powers I've given you, control my human being that I've created. Say, subhanallah. Allah gave him all the powers. All of his du'as were accepted. But Allah said, listen, O shaitan, never will you be able to overwhelm and control my human being that I've created. You will not be able to control him and bring him onto your side, despite the powers I've given you, the permissions I've given you, and the ability I've given you. Allah says, let me seal this discussion with the final word. You will not be able to win over the human being. Shaitan was shocked at that time, that what point is left? What power is left that I don't have? And Allah is saying that I cannot control the human being despite all of this. My enemy will be safe from me. Allah says, totally, you won't be able to control him. Why, Allah? What is the reason? Allah says, as long as my servant, the human being, does my dhikr, you will never be able to control him. Say, subhanallah, subhanallah. Allah said, I've given you the powers, I've given you the skills, but I've also given one action to my servants, the human beings, and that is the action of dhikr Allah, O shaitan. And dhikr of Allah will never let you win over them. So tell me the power of dhikr. Tell me such a great tool, an action. And a Sufi, a person who remembers Allah, if he wants to save himself, then do dhikr of Allah. If an alim wants to save his knowledge, then do dhikr of Allah. If a Muslim wants to save himself, do dhikr of Allah. If a commentator, mufassir, wants to save himself, then do dhikr of Allah. There's no action that can save us from shaitan. Allah says himself, when we read Quran, do the dhikr of Allah. Do ta'awudh, a'udhu billah, bismillah. If you don't, then you will be spoilt. After salah, shaitan, he wanders around inside us. There's no place that shaitan doesn't come to. Allah has given him the power. But only that person will be saved who does the dhikr of Allah, who remembers Allah. That's why Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that next to every tree and rock and boulder and stone, just like you have a need to do dua, every moment do dua to Allah. In the same way, to become the servant of Allah, to be successful and to die successful from this world, doesn't matter how much ibadah you do or worship you do, but your worship will be successful at that time when next to every tree and rock and item of vegetation, you do the dhikr of Allah. Well, in other words, everywhere in the world, do dhikr of Allah. Wala dhikr Allahi akbar. Beautiful point. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned about the dhikr of Ar-Rahman. Allah says in the Quran, if we do the dhikr of Rahman, here Allah says that bring dhikr into you. That if a servant of Allah does the dhikr of Allah, so this is what we need to understand here. Allah says, bring dhikr into your lives, that if you become blind due to doing dhikr, Allah says, I'm giving you so many strengths and skills to save yourself from shaitan. And no person who has a brain will leave my advice. And only that person will leave dhikr is that person who's blind from his eyes and from his heart, who doesn't understand who is Allah and Allah's orders and hikmah. And only that person will leave this great deed of dhikr. Allah says, those people who don't remember me, what are they? Allah says, they are blind. They're blind. Their minds have become overwhelmed. They're worried about themselves. And they say, oh, now I need to save myself with my ibadah, with my worship, with my other deeds, with my taqwa, with my knowledge, with my studying. I will save myself. Allah says, no. And they have false conviction on their knowledge, on their ibadah, on their worship. Subhanallah. Allah says, these people are blind, they have forgotten, they haven't understood my advice. What a big point Allah Ta'ala is saying, that those people who don't do dhikr of Allah, who don't understand what is dhikr, they don't understand the importance of dhikr. The Quran is saying, I'm not saying, Allah says that those people who are blind from the remembrance of their Lord, they've forgotten Allah. They have no understanding or awareness. They are playing games and they will go to Jahannam. They are ready to go into hellfire. Those people who hate my dhikr, who dislike my dhikr, who don't do my remembrance, and their hearts, they don't feel good when they do dhikr of Allah. Allah says they have become blind to my remembrance. I will give them a punishment. And what is the punishment? Allah says that I will give them the punishment that shaitan will overwhelm these people and trap these people and influence these people. Who? Those people who don't do my dhikr. This is Quran. Look at the verse of the Quran and look at it. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling us this. And shaitan said this. The person who doesn't do the dhikr of Allah, Allah says that person, the hell of a result physically, the shaitan will be set upon those people, and with their thousands of ibadah will be included the actions of shaitan, the influence of shaitan. The worshipper who will go on Hajj and Umrah, but shaitan will be influencing him because he will not be doing dhikr to protect his deeds. He has opened the doors to shaitan. After every ibadah, the doors open. There's no guard there. If we don't sit a guard there to protect our deeds, we need a security guard. We need the dhikr of Allah. Otherwise, shaitan will enter into our ibadah. He will destroy all of our ibadah, all of our deeds. All night long, you can pray tahajjud, and in the morning when you wake up, he will make you do such a sin, small sin, so called. All night long, you stay awake, you do ibadah, you worship, you do prostration. Wake up in the morning, you've just woken up and you've left, and then you backbite against someone. Within a second you'll backbite and all of your ibadah will be spoilt. Will it go? Will it not be spoiled? But if you, as soon as you wake up in the morning, you do the dhikr of Allah, then the padlock will come onto shaitan, the chains, and he will not be able to move, and then your deeds will be protected. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So is there an option to do dhikr of Allah? Or if I do it, it's okay. If I don't do it, it's my choice. Allah Ta'ala said, wadhkur isma. In the Quran says, out loudly, bukratan wasila, do my dhikr morning, evening, from morning till evening, remember me. This is our option, we think. We have a choice to do it if we don't want to do it. I shouldn't eat this, I can eat this, I shouldn't do this action, I shouldn't do this action. And then we say, I don't need to do dhikr, I don't need to remember Allah. This is dhikr, reading Quran and doing other actions. This is a game. Is this a game? Such a great action, we are rejecting it and we are attacking ourselves. We are accepting, we should accept we are sinful. To save ourselves, we need protection and insurance from shaitan. Allah, we are sinful. Shaitan will influence us. He will overcome us. And the tools you've given to us, most definitely we should not leave these tools, otherwise we will be destroyed by shaitan. So should we do dhikr of Allah or not? Tell me loudly. No? Yes? Is it not necessary? We still don't understand? Look at this point. So Allah Ta'ala is telling us in the Quran that this is not the case that I will set shaitan free on you, that it's for a few hours. Allah says it will be for a long time. He forever will continue to influence you. The shaitan, he will be the wretched shaitan, he will be your enemy, and he will be against you all the time. So this is the story. This is the fact. The power the shaitan has been given. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Hazrat Mawlana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, has written in his kitab that there was a wali of Allah, Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, another wali of Allah, and he saw in the marketplace there was a man, and he was walking around naked. He didn't have his clothes on, and everyone's walking around, men, women, and he's walking around naked. And this pious elder said, are you not ashamed? You're walking around shameful, naked. He said, I'm shaitan. I can walk around naked. He said, doesn't matter. Okay, fair enough. You are shaitan. But here there are men and women, human beings, and you're walking naked around them. You don't feel ashamed. And all these people, you're walking naked in front of them. He said, oh, wali of Allah, what are you saying? Are these people humans? You call these people humans? They're not humans. These are my clients. These are my customers. These are my friends. If you want to see a true human being, then in this masjid in Baghdad, go to that mosque and go there and see the people there. They are the people, the true human beings, the men. And they are such people, they are doing such an action. They have spoilt my enmity. They have burnt me inside. They have made me melt from inside. And that wali of Allah ran towards the masjid, the shaitan. People who have done actions to ward off shaitan. Let's see this jamaat, what are they doing? He went and saw that those poor souls, they were sat down. Today we call them, we criticize them. And after Fajr Salah, they were sitting doing the dhikr of Allah, remembering Allah. Imagine. And the wali of Allah said, Subhanallah, wala dhikrullah akbar. My brothers, This is the message of Ramadan. Let's do tawbah, repent, and do the dhikr of Allah. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you the tawfiq. Wa akhru dawana alhamdulillah.